Hello, everybody, and welcome to Opening to Freedom. I'm really delighted to be with you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your week to join me here tonight. I hope this time slot works for you to do some meditation. It can be a little challenging always trying to find a time slot that works for, if not everyone, at least a lot of us. And this 5:30 slot seems to be our best attempt to at least cover all the time zones in North America and hopefully South America. And hello to all of you who are going to listen to this audio recording at a later time. You're included in this collective field that's forming here as well. So welcome to all of you, wherever you are and whenever you are. Spiritual awakening and the consciousness underlying it transcends time and space, which hopefully we'll all get a taste of in the hour and a half ahead. So for now, we should just assume we're all here together. So I've been very inspired by the response to the Meditation 2.0 events that I offered recently, and also to my upcoming Practice of Direct Awakening course. We have an amazing global community already forming around the course of about 900 people from 39 different countries. So this is going to be a truly planetary adventure in consciousness and in what meditation can open up for us. And I expect that number will grow a bit over the next few days before the course starts this Thursday. So I know that a lot of you here today are still pondering whether to join us for the course. And also, I heard from a number of you that you wanted to get a more tangible sense of how the practice of direct awakening works, what exactly this approach to meditation really consists of, and how it works to catalyze spiritual awakening in our experience. And so I thought, given that we only have a few days until the course starts, it would make sense to offer this. You know, I kind of framed it as a demonstration, a demonstration of the practice. And of course, for a practice, you know, for any meditation practice, any spiritual practice, I'm sure we can all appreciate that there's tremendous depth and subtlety involved in it, which is why people engage in spiritual practice over extended periods of time. It's why there are training programs like the one I'm about to offer to really take us deep into practice, into how it really works, and point it out and illuminate the path so that we can really practice it. So obviously, whatever we can accomplish here in a short period this evening will really just consist of a sort of taste or a glimpse of the potential that this practice contains. But at the same time, this is a practice of direct awakening. And the whole premise that this process, this program, this approach to practice is based on is that awakening doesn't have to take time. That spiritual awakening isn't something that we practice, you know, we engage in practices over decades in the hope that maybe someday it will happen to us, that it's something we can directly practice right now and step into right now. And so it's in that spirit that I want to invite us all to really engage with what we're doing here this evening as though there is nothing in our way, as though in this next hour or so of practice and exploration we'll be doing, there's no reason we can't go all the way. So even though maybe it's just a brief taste, on the other hand, the taste contains everything, which is one of the core insights of spiritual awakening or enlightenment, that it's all here right now. A moment of full recognition is a lifetime of full recognition. It's an infinite glimpse. So I hope that has you sitting up on the edge of your seat and ready to dive in with me. And I guess because I'm aware of it being, you know, just after 5:30 here on the West Coast, I want to encourage as many of you as possible to really set aside whatever else you're doing for at least this next hour, the practice session, so that you can give yourself wholeheartedly to what we're doing here together. You know, I realize some of you might even be driving right now or in your commute or, you know, trying to whip up some dinner. And, you know, if you have to, okay. But if you are literally driving, please don't do the meditation exercises. Just listen to the description. It's meditation while driving is a dangerous edge that I do not encourage. Okay. All right. But yeah, if possible, please just set it all aside for a bit and dive in here. So I'm aware that many of us have done a lot of meditation practice at this point in various forms. So before we start, I want to say just a few words about this approach to meditation, as it may be different than what you've encountered elsewhere. As many of you know, over the past several decades, I've guided and facilitated a number of what I've come to call evolutionary laboratories, where we experimented with spiritual practices in great depth. We experimented with spiritual awakening and trying to refine the awakening process, discover more effective spiritual practices. You know, sort of setting us on the one hand, honoring the great wisdom traditions of the world and all they've given us, and at the same time, not stopping there, but continuing to innovate with the insights of contemporary psychological understanding of how human beings work, and, you know, behavioral science and how change occurs, and really trying to inform spiritual practice with this more scientific experimental orientation. And it was really through those thousands of hours of meditation that we did in these laboratories that I gradually, in partnership with a lot of other people, discovered this kind of unexpected insight that became the foundation for the approach to meditation that I now teach, which I call Meditation 2.0, or the practice of direct awakening. And that core insight, which I alluded to briefly earlier, and I just want to elaborate on in a little more detail now, is the insight is that it's possible to practice spiritual awakening directly in this moment. So rather than engaging in practices that we think might lead to a future moment of awakening, we can learn how to practice being awake, being free, being enlightened right now. And obviously this is different than the way a lot of us have approached things like meditation. Often we approach meditation like we approach physical exercise. I'm doing this now to get stronger, to get better at something, to go through some process of change that in the future will lead to a result. And it's a reasonable way to approach meditation and spiritual practice. It brings benefit for sure. But this is different. And this really came out of looking at how awakened consciousness expresses itself, how it manifests. In other words, what it's like, what's it like to be awake? What's it like to be awake to our true nature? What's it like when we step beyond the confines of the separate ego and discover this sacred dimension at the heart of reality? What happens for a human being who discovers that? Because this is something many of us have gone in and out of, right? I'm sure many of you who I'm speaking to will say, yeah, I had an experience of spiritual awakening. I had an amazing enlightenment experience, lasted maybe a brief time or maybe a long time, and then it went away. But no doubt when it was happening, it was very real and it was very distinct from my ordinary consciousness. So we looked at how does this awakened consciousness show up, and then developed a system of practices that involves stepping directly into these natural orientations, qualities, dimensions, or what I've come to call postures of awakened consciousness. So we're practicing relating to our experience in the way we would naturally relate to our experience if we were awake. And I'll speak a little more about later about why that and how exactly that works. But just broadly speaking, I want us all to get this orientation, because it's very different than sitting down to meditate to try to get somewhere else in the future, or just going through a repetitive practice in the hope that it's sort of purifying us or clarifying us for another time. This is about awakening right now. And over the years, I've been fine-tuning this practice with smaller groups of people. And then in 2016, I started my latest collective awakening experiment, which was this launch of this course, The Practice of Direct Awakening, that I'm speaking about and that we're launching this week. And the goal there was, could we replicate the power of this practice with a large group of people? And we've had about 3,000 people go through the program since we first offered it in the fall of 2016. And it's been awe-inspiring, to say the least, and wildly exceeding my expectations for what an online course in meditation could be. And yeah, I'll probably speak a little more about all that at the end. But essentially, what I'm trying to simply communicate here is that this is a very tried and true approach at this point, and to treat it as such and really engage it and take it seriously, because I've had a lot of experience working with it and working and teaching it to people. And I'm saying this partly because what I'm going to share, it can be kind of hard to believe. In other words, it's hard for our conventional self, our ordinary unawakened self, to believe that we could just step into a completely different dimension of who we are. It always sort of feels like a, it feels like, sure, I can do that. There's a part of us that says, oh, right, you're saying that me, the person who's been trying to do spiritual practice for 20 years and only getting moderate results, is going to right now step directly into enlightened awareness. It sounds kind of preposterous or like a big claim. So what I'm trying to say is, no, you actually can do this. Anyone can do this who has the aspiration, the humility, the innocence, the commitment. This is really possible, and it doesn't take a lot of time. And in fact, it can happen right now, tonight. So I want to offer you a sort of mini workshop here in this practice so you can get a taste of the process firsthand. And to begin, I just want to step directly into our first experiment in direct awakening. So we're going to go ahead and practice a little bit right here. And I'm doing this here at the very beginning, in a sense, also to sort of draw our collective energies together, to bring our full presence into this moment. So I want to invite you right now to just sit still. Doesn't matter whether your eyes are open or closed, but just allow your gaze to rest in a single place if they're open. And I want to invite you to take a few deep, slow breaths. And with each out-breath, just let go of the cares and concerns of the day, leaving behind whatever happened, whatever's on your mind, whatever's weighing on your heart, just for this brief moment. Just let it all go, allowing yourself to come fully and completely into this present moment, with no concern for any other moment. Now, one of the inner postures we work with in the practice of direct awakening is a practice of simply noticing the meditation that is already happening. In this moment, there is a meditation that is already occurring. There is a field of depth and awakening that is already alive here between us. We're gathered here from all around the globe. Just become aware of this collective that is here meditating right now. Here giving our attention to this meditation that's already occurring. You aren't generating this meditation. You don't need to do anything to make it happen. It's already happening. There's a part of you that is always already in meditation, which means a part of you that is always deeply still and untouched by the comings and goings, the ups and downs of life. Allow yourself in this moment to just rest in this part of yourself that is outside of time and change. That's already deeply at ease and at rest and unperturbed by anything. Now notice, this doesn't mean that your mind has to stop thinking. It doesn't mean that complex feelings that might be arising need to go away in order to feel more peaceful. I'm pointing to a dimension of your being that's always already simply and deeply present. And you see, with this practice, it doesn't even matter whether you can feel anything particular in yourself, because often this in meditation, we look in ourselves to find a certain experience. If you look within and you can't see this depth, then just notice the depth that's here between us. Notice the meditation that's happening in the field between us. That's also always here. Notice what's alive in the stillness. Notice what's here in the space between us. You are not separate from this depth, from this aliveness, from this presence. You never were, never have been. Just allow it to continue in the background now. And as we continue through this evening's workshop, just invite you to allow a certain amount of your attention to remain on this meditation that's already happening in the background. That might mean you just occasionally keep noticing it, noticing the quality of your own consciousness, of the collective consciousness, even as you hopefully continue to give some attention to what I'm sharing. Thank you. So that was our first very brief experiment in direct awakening meditation. And these are obviously very brief little tastes, but just take a moment to notice if anything opened up for you or made itself apparent to you or shifted in your experience, even in that few minutes that we just did together. Notice the quality of your consciousness now. Is it at all different than it was before? Maybe so, maybe not. That's okay. This practice is not about having to hit home runs every time you practice or have a profound experience every time. It's about consistency and openness to possibility. It just keeps inviting an ongoing revelation that arises mysteriously in some ways outside of conscious awareness until it ultimately overtakes us with its power. So before we do our next experiment, in order to create a little more context, I just want to speak a little bit about the larger context for all of this, which is that this is about the possibility of extraordinary spiritual awakening. And I just want to speak a little bit about what I mean by spiritual awakening, because these days spiritual awakening is used to refer to all kinds of things, kind of any sort of spiritual experience or opening or epiphany that we might have. We might often think, oh, that's a spiritual awakening, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, but I want to clarify and distinguish that from what I'm referring to. So there's a helpful distinction here, is the distinction between spiritual experience and spiritual awakening. So there are many different kinds of spiritual experiences that we can have, and I hope you've had at least some of them in your lifetime. We can experience very powerful, positive spiritual feelings or emotions, like an upwelling of love or of a feeling of grace or a feeling of profound gratitude for this life and for the profound presence that we feel behind it. So we can have powerful spiritual feelings. We can have a sense of connection with a higher power, a sense of connection with God or the divine or whatever profound presence we hold up as the source of all this. We can have experiences that aren't like that, but that are more just like very wide open expansiveness and freedom, where we just feel very unburdened and our awareness seems to expand in all directions. Or we can have profound experiences of intimacy with nature that we experience as spiritual, or with other people. Or we can have surges of subtle energy, you know, powerful, seemingly cosmic or subtle energy surge through our system. We can see visions of light or hear the music of the spheres. There are essentially hundreds, maybe even thousands of varieties of spiritual experience. And there are people who've tried to catalog them. The famous William James book, Varieties of Religious Experience, did that. And Evelyn Underhill did a big work way back documenting some of the different states that we can experience. So So there's all these kinds of spiritual experiences. And spiritual experiences, by the way, can be a byproduct of spiritual awakening too. They're not necessarily unrelated. But when I refer to spiritual awakening, I'm referring to something very specific that is not really best understood as another kind of spiritual experience. So I'm referring to what's traditionally been called by names like enlightenment, self-realization, God realization, moksha or liberation, or cosmic consciousness, and many other names, Satori, Nirvana, you know, add your own. But when we talk about that by any name, what we're really talking about is not something we experience. It's the mystical realization of our fundamental unity with the sacred power and intelligence that animates this whole cosmos. So you see, we can experience contact with that in many forms, but spiritual awakening isn't about making contact with a greater, something greater than ourselves. It's the realization that the very thing I've been searching for is none other than my own true self, my own true nature. That I am that. It's the recognition that there is no separation between you and the most sacred thing in the universe. That the very intelligence, energy, and love that created and is continually creating this cosmos and this world, that is actually who and what you are. That's who, what I am. My own nature is this sacred immensity that my mind can't possibly comprehend. When we touch into it, we realize that every attempt our mind could make to try to approximate ultimate reality doesn't even come close. That there's just an immeasurable sacred immensity at the heart of reality, and that, my God, that is the truth of what I am. And I've never been separate from it, even though it has seemed that way my entire life. And when we discover this, our world turns upside down. We realize that the very source that we have been seeking has always been right here. And not only is it our true nature, and this is important, not only is it who you are, it's the true nature of everything. That everything, the whole cosmos from beginning to end, is shot through with divinity, with a love beyond imagination, with a kind of supreme intelligence or wisdom, with the profundity that brings us to our knees, one way or another. So for our next brief practice, I want to invite you to just allow yourself to take a few moments to just sit with the truth of what I'm saying. To just allow yourself to rest right now in the natural, easeful recognition that there's nothing missing from this moment. There is nothing missing from you. That who and what you are in this exact moment that I'm saying these words is already it. Already whole and complete. That your very essence is a luminous, enlightened presence that has never not been here. You just couldn't see it. And your practice right now is to just allow that, just to allow the truth of that. Which really means the practice is to not fight that, to not deny it, to not resist it. This is it. You are that one, without a second. This is a practice of no longer postponing your liberation. It's a practice of not giving in to the temptation to put it off to tomorrow, to believe that there is some other time, some other place, some other situation in which you will find yourself that would be more adequate, more whole, more complete, that you would be more ready to let go and embrace the perfection that is at the heart of who you are. You are just accepting it right now. Nothing needs to change about this moment right now. It is all already here. Realize that nothing that your mind could do in this moment could in any way take away from the wholeness, the completeness of this moment. Your mind can't touch it, even if the most disturbing, craziest thoughts were to arise. They're just little, barely ripples on the surface. You don't have to worry about your mind. You don't have to worry about your feelings. Your doubts don't mean anything in the face of this. Your insecurities are irrelevant in the face of this immensity of who and what you are, always. So I want to invite you to just allow the fragrance of this brief practice experiment that we've just been doing for these last few minutes. Just allow the fragrance of it to remain with you in whatever way it does naturally. You don't need to try to hold on to it. You can't hold on to it. Your mind can't remember it. But you can just allow it to be here as we continue with our workshop. Now, I want to speak just a little bit more about how this direct awakening works, because we're jumping into some practices, and I want to just keep, we're going to keep practicing, and I want to just keep kind of weaving our understanding of the practice together with our doing of it. So, and again, whether you experienced, you know, touched into something just now, whether something revealed itself or not, is not important. And we're going to do a number of different practices from different angles tonight. It's my hope that at least one of them will give you a taste of something. Some of you might be really lucky and each of them might take you somewhere. That's okay too. But again, just have a lot of room for whatever occurs. And you might find that this workshop, that you're kind of, you know, feeling a little at sea throughout this workshop and don't know quite what's happening. And then you might find later tonight or tomorrow that you start to, that the impact of it starts to hit. It's often that way with something like this. So just be open. Just be at ease with however this is going. So we've just been looking at the liberating truth of our true nature, of awakening to who and what we already are and always have been, and the recognition that who and what we are is none other than the very sacred dimension we've been striving to reach, that the one who is seeking is in fact that which we've been seeking. And when we discover this, a number of things happen. We, you know, for us as a human being, we realize that we are free in our nature, that who and what we are is free. All the constraints and limitations that once seemed so real on our consciousness and our life and our potential, they just fall away, leaving this wide open space of possibility. We discover this infinite capacity to love. And it's not something that is self-generated. It's not that we find that we have access to a like secret stash of personal love. It's that we discover that our true nature is love, and that the nature of reality is love. And there is a flow of love that begins to move through us, and that we find all we need to do is make room for it, and it keeps flowing. So we feel filled with love, not because we're a vessel that's containing a lot of love, but it's like we're a kind of conduit or pipeline through which love is flowing, and we always feel full because it's always flowing through us, not because we're holding on to it or getting love. And this creates this kind of overflowing sense of grace in our heart, in our being, the sense that there's a grace that is always freely given. We don't need to, you know, the old kind of like asking God or the universe or the higher power to bless us. We kind of realize that that was a kind of an absurd proposition, because we are and always have been so blessed, and in fact are a source of blessing, and that's always been here. We just were the one holding it at bay with our assumptions and limiting beliefs and insistence that it wasn't that way. And this gives rise to this profound sense of purpose and meaning. We're no longer looking for meaning and purpose in our life because we know that life, with a capital L, is meaningful already beyond measure and purposive. We've discovered this ultimate purpose, which is to embody and incarnate and live this sacred truth of who we are, to demonstrate the truth of wholeness, of love, of freedom in this confused and troubled world. And so this kind of knowing of this true purpose becomes a North Star guiding us in our lives, not like it's communicating messages to us about what to do. We're just following a flow that's self-revealing with each next step, guiding us in living an enlightened life and expressing that higher potential. So experientially, things change a lot. And as I've mentioned recently in various writings and in my Meditation 2.0 workshop, we start to find that this awakened consciousness gives us a whole host of powers, abilities, and capacities that we didn't have before. And many things that we were striving to cultivate suddenly are just there. This kind of fluidity and flexibility and creativity and access to intuitive wisdom and inner strength, and you know, so many of the things I've been kind of writing and sharing about are all the natural outpouring of this discovery of who and what we are. But the piece I want to highlight just for a moment to help underline what I mean by direct awakening is that, you see, as we start to practice awakening and we start to discover awakening, one of the things that we realize is that it's actually very predictable and recognizable. It's distinct. It is, whenever we're awake, there's an obviousness, a recognizability to it. Meaning it shows up in discernible and predictable ways. Because when you awaken to your true nature or I awaken to my true nature, we're not awakening to two different things. We're awakening to one consciousness. And when a human being is embodying this consciousness, they are a different kind of human being. They have a different relationship to life and a different way of relating to this human experience than an unawakened person. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we could easily, if we had more time, I could say, let's all create a chart and we're going to identify with bullet points the predictable ways that unenlightened consciousness shows up and relates to life. And we would see things like, well, it's, you know, hesitant to take risks. It's, afraid of change. You know, we feel a sense of lack and we don't have enough love and we don't have enough whatever, and that if only we had more, then we would, you know, be able to really show up and fully live our life. You know, this, we could outline a whole, and I have done this, but I'm not going to do it tonight, but we could outline the sort of 100 predictable ways that the ego relates to life, or the unawakened self relates to life. But see, we could also create another column on that chart, and we could say, well, what are the predictable ways that awakened consciousness relates to life? What are the predictable ways that the awakened self relates? And guess what? We could list them out. And so, you see, what I'm trying to say is that when awakening occurs, we find we're seeing things very differently than we used to see them. We relate to most events of life differently than we did before. Things that used to seem frightening or risky don't scare us at all. Things that used to seem like limitations don't seem like limitations. We find we're no longer resisting the way things are and avoiding and denying the truth. We're right face to face with reality as it is, deeply content with what is, even maybe as we're working to change the world in positive ways. We find that we aren't waiting or postponing, you know, our life for a future moment, like the practice that we just did. We find we aren't grasping on to knowing and certainty. There's a kind of openness and innocence, curiously trying to discover what truths the next moment will reveal. We no longer feel or experience others as separate from us or anything. We experience the world and the cosmos as an indivisible whole, and everyone is part of me. And many other things, many other very predictable ways of relating to life that come from being awake to who and what we are. So the point that I want to make about direct awakening, because this really comes down to, gets us right to how this practice works. So essentially what I'm saying is there are all these ways of being that come naturally to the awakened self, someone whose consciousness is awakened. And the radical assertion that this work is based on is that you don't have to wait for awakening to happen to you to step into all of these ways of being, that you can actually practice all of these enlightened ways of relating to your experience directly in meditation right now. And these make up what I call the inner postures of awakened consciousness. And I've identified a whole bunch of them. And essentially, these are the natural inner postures or ways of sort of stances that awakened consciousness manifests organically when we're awake. And what we're doing with direct awakening practice is we are taking up these same natural inner postures of awakened consciousness. And what happens when we do? What happens is that awakened consciousness shows up. It just shows up. Because the awakened self is the only part of you that can actually do these practices. Your ego, the unawakened false self structure, cannot do the practice. It can't let go. Your ego can't let things be. Your ego can't be innocent or let go of grasping after certainty. It's terrified of not knowing. The unawakened self can't be aware of a context larger than itself. It certainly can't be aware of awareness itself or consciousness itself. But you can. And that's the point of this practice. Who you really are can do these practices. Remember earlier I was saying how preposterous it seems, the notion that I could just do this? Well, that's because the part of you that's, you know, looking at it maybe can't actually do it. And so there's a kind of leap of faith with every one of these practices. Where and in our course I really, you know, invite you each time with each of the practices to just take that leap and say, no, don't. You know, yeah, there's a part of you that's always going to think this is impossible. Don't worry. You don't need to convince that part. You just need to decide to do the practice. And when you do, it works directly and immediately to reveal your enlightened essence, your true nature. And so this is what I'm hoping that all of us can at least get a glimpse of tonight. And so we're going to continue to explore some of the different direct awakening practices. And I think I want to just mention a couple quick practice pointers. I mean, we've already done a couple. We're going to do a few others. But just a couple of simple pointers with these practices. Don't try to get it right. Just try it with no idea of what it means to do it right. So that basically the orientation is, in each moment of practice, you're just trying out this posture. You're just trying it. You're not judging it. You're just trying it. Second one is, don't have any expectations of a particular kind of experience. As I said before, awakening transcends any particular experience. So if you're sitting there in meditation going, oh, I want to have that profound sacred experience Greg was talking about, you probably won't. And that's not what it's about anyway. So we have to resist the temptation to try to experience something. Again, you're just trying to do it. You're trying to get yourself into the posture. It's like as if you were doing a yoga class and maybe you're not that flexible yet, but you just try to get into the posture. It's like that. And whenever you think you've stopped practicing and gotten distracted, don't make a problem out of that. Don't give any energy to trying to figure out why you're distracted. Just take up the practice again in that moment as if you never stopped. Literally, you didn't ever stop. You just got distracted and now you're continuing. Nothing happened. It's an easeful relationship to practice. It's very important when we're doing something that's this, working at such a subtle level. So we're going to work with three more practice experiments. So I was just speaking about these natural ways that awakened consciousness shows up and how we, in direct awakening, we put those into practice in meditation. So one of the most refreshing qualities of awakened consciousness is the kind of innocence that comes with it. If you've ever encountered an awakened person or even partially awakened, one of the things you may have noticed is this kind of awakened person does not care if they don't know or if they do know. There's not this kind of holding on to certainty, trying to have the answers, trying to figure it all out. The way that awakened consciousness naturally shows up, it's like an open, receptive, innocent interest. There's this profound willingness to live in the unknown, to not, you can see the ego, how it tries to like grasp on, you know, it tries to have an answer or a solution, a good one or a bad one, doesn't matter, you know. The ego wants to know the outcome. This isn't going to work, or this is going to work fine. It doesn't want to stay open as well. I don't know if this is going to work. Let's try. Oh, ego hates that. It's terrified of that. But awakened consciousness is just so free in the face of uncertainty. There's just this open, innocent interest, leaning into the moment. What will I discover in the next moment? What is there to see? And I think part of this is because when we awaken, we discover a context, you know, and a depth of being so immense that we see that the mind's attempt to know and to have certainty in the face of the uncertainty of life, it's a kind of attempt to put the immensity of reality into a little box so we can have control. And really, we see it as a kind of control. And when we're awake, we've let go of control. We realize we're participating in something so much greater than we could possibly control. And we realize that the only way that could work is to just move and flow and dance with life as it unfolds. That doesn't mean we don't make plans. It doesn't mean we don't try to solve problems or, you know, make decisions to answer. But there's a fundamental ease in the face of not knowing, and a fundamental recognition that whatever we can know and do know, what we don't know is so much bigger. So we become someone who's able to rest in what the Christian mystic in the Middle Ages called the cloud of unknowing. We live in a cloud of unknowing, and we're deeply at ease and happy in that unknowing. So for our next experiment, I want to invite us into this practice posture I often call innocence. So in this moment, again, just sitting here, I want to invite you to let go of the need to know anything. Give yourself the freedom to have no idea about anything. Just don't know. There's no need to figure anything out. No need to know whether you're meditating or not, or whether this is working or not, or even understand what's happening. Just allow yourself to be here as you are, with no need to know. And you might notice your mind comes up trying to know something, right? The mind is constantly interpreting what's happening, trying to understand what's happening. What does it mean? I just felt this. I wonder if that's what Craig's talking about. Oh, I'm not feeling it. I wonder why I'm, you know, the mind's there. It's trying to understand and figure it out. It's also, it's interpreting. It's also always evaluating. This is good. This is bad. This is great. This is what should be happening. Oh, this isn't very good. I don't think this should be happening. That's okay. We're not trying to control the mind. We're not trying to shut it down. But notice that you can rest in this innocence, this freedom of not knowing, even as your mind continues to try to get involved in the action. And so one aspect as this particular practice posture deepens is we practice not getting involved with the mind, not engaging with the thought stream. Thought arises. We see it. We say, oh, there's thought. But we're not interested in it. Why are we not interested in the mind, the thought stream that's usually so interesting to us? Because we realize it's just churning out partial representations of reality. It's just chattering away. It's like a mechanical process. It's just trying to know, trying to understand, trying to figure it out. And it's actually much more interesting to not know. Can you feel all the openness in not knowing? The freedom to not need to know? The spaciousness? It's possible to be here with no need to know and no engagement with the thought process. Thought arises of its own accord. We don't give it any attention because we're interested in that which is beyond the mind, which is not approachable by thought. We just allow that depth to open up as we sit here not knowing anything about it, not trying to get a handle on it. I'm going to just move directly into the next brief practice experiment because it can just arise within the space of not knowing that we're already practicing. So for this next brief experiment, we're going to look at another of the natural postures of awakened consciousness. So one of the remarkable dimensions of awakened awareness is the profound contentment that comes with it. When we are awake to who and what we are, we find an unimaginable peace and ease of being and contentment. It's not because we finally fixed reality, and it's not because we finally fixed ourselves and perfected every little thing about ourselves. It's because we're no longer resistant to the way things are. We're no longer in denial or avoidance or in a fight with reality. I think it arises because we've discovered this inherent sacredness and wholeness and perfection that I was speaking about earlier. Because we are so now, we so deeply recognize what reality is in its essence, that we find ourselves fully able to be with what is, with no struggle against what is. And this too is something that we can practice directly. One of the simplest ways of understanding direct awakening practice, one of the simplest ways of practicing it, is to simply allow everything to be exactly as it is in this moment. It's to practice being content with what is, which doesn't mean feeling content. It means not struggling, allowing, embracing this moment as it arises, with no need to change it in any way, no need to change our experience in any way. So allow yourself to practice that now. Simply allowing this moment as it is. what arises from one moment to the next. We just allow it. We embrace it. We include it in the wholeness of this moment. Nothing is excluded. Nothing is rejected. In this place of allowing, of contentment, I'm going to introduce the final practice experiment of the evening. And this has to do with the nature of awareness itself. One way of understanding awakened awareness is that it is awareness that has discovered awareness. It's consciousness that has become aware of consciousness. You see, in our ordinary lives, in our ordinary consciousness, we tend to only be aware of things, of objects arising in awareness. We are aware of things in the outer world. We are aware of our bodies, we're aware of thoughts, feelings, emotions, sensations. All of these are what we're constantly aware of and paying attention to. And because of this, because our attention is sort of permanently riveted on all the things arising in consciousness, we never become aware of that which is aware, of the one who is experiencing all of this. Our fixation on things, including inner things, obstructs the recognition of who we really are, which is infinite consciousness, infinite awareness. The boundless, limitless self. So I want to invite you right now to notice first the things in your awareness. If your eyes are open, notice what's around you in the room. Notice the sound of my voice arising, whatever background sounds there are, whatever sensations are in your body, feeling the skin against your skin, feeling the chair you're sitting on, or whatever you're sitting on. The thoughts that are arising or not. And now, I want to invite you to simply become aware of the awareness in which all of this is arising. Become aware of consciousness itself, of the experiencer, that which is not a thing, but is experiencing all those things I just mentioned. Don't try to locate it in your head or in your body. It's not there. It's not in a place. Any place that you can become aware of is another thing. Just gently allow yourself to notice the subject of your experience. The space in which all things come and go in your experience. Notice that there's a tendency to try to find it somewhere, to look for a particular feeling and call that awareness, or particular quality and of spaciousness or openness. And just allow yourself to keep looking beyond everything you can fixate on. Directly into the awareness that you are. I now want to invite us to come back to where we started this journey, which was with simply noticing the meditation that's already occurring. So just allow yourself to forget about all the specific practices that we tried so briefly, or whether you got this one or that one or whatever happened. Just allow yourself to be here, be aware of the meditation that's happening between us. We've all really given ourselves to these experiments in practice. And now there's just meditation. Just consciousness unfolding one moment into the next, effortlessly. And now I want to invite you to let go of meditation. And just allow the fragrance or the taste of all of these practices to just remain in whatever way is natural. Not trying to hold on to anything that happened, anything you discovered, just allowing it to continue in whatever way it does naturally. Tonight we had a few tastes of the practice of direct awakening. We actually tried 5 different little experiments. You know, I'm always a bit hesitant to offer meditation instruction in small bites because the practices really require a lot of in-depth instruction to be able to really fully practice them, but I hope that you got at least some glimpse of what I mean by direct awakening, what I mean by awakened consciousness. It was my sincerest hope and intention for all of us that we would even just get a deeper understanding of how it works or how it could work for us, not expecting the whole enchilada, but at the same time being open to whatever could show up. So, you know, for these kinds of practices to really take root, we typically need training. We need to invest significant time in working with them. And that's the point of the 12-week course I've created, is to guide us much deeper into these and other practices. So I don't want to say a lot about the course tonight. You know, you can listen to the Meditation 2.0 workshop for maybe some more specifics about the course. There's a webpage at directawakening.com, and there's also a link to it on the webcast page for the event tonight. That's directawakening.com, and you know, there's a lot of detail about the course there. My hope is that, you know, if you've already read the webpage, the online course brochure, that now, having done these practices, what's on that page will make a lot more sense to you. I mean, I tell you, trying to write the copy and describe all this was quite an amazing journey in and of itself, because you're trying to describe things that are so tremendously subtle and profound and put them into words. But my guess is that if you go back to that page after this event and give it another read, you'll go, oh, that's what he means, at least some of it. You know, we obviously only touched into some of the different postures. But yeah, maybe just to say a couple words about the course. So this is a 12-week course. It starts this Thursday. This is going to be the only live cohort I will offer this year. That means I'm going to include live virtual living room Q&A sessions, where I sort of invite you into my virtual living room. I like that metaphor because that's how it feels to me, like we're all sitting around together exploring our practice and exploring awakening. So in those live sessions, it'll be a chance to bring me your questions about the practices and share your practice with me and get my coaching and guidance in it. You know, I've never been this excited about a course, and I've been teaching for a very long time, but this really was the distillation of all of my experience teaching and practicing meditation. All the retreats I've led, all the thousands of hours of meditations I've guided people through over the decades. In this program, I wanted to create a truly comprehensive meditation course, and really awakening course, because meditation is about awakening. It always has been about awakening. And, you know, these days there's a lot of talk about meditation and how it will help you get everything you want in life and improve your physical and mental health and give you peak performance and all these things, which I'm sure are true. But the true potential of meditation is that it can awaken us very directly and immediately to this unimaginably sacred dimension of who we are that then really unleashes something into our life that we never could have dreamed of. And so I'm incredibly inspired to be offering this program and bringing another group into it. We have 12 distinct, just to give you a quick sense of how it works, we have these 12 distinct course modules, and we go through one of them each week. And each module is takes us into a different aspect of direct awakening practice. It's like each one opens a different doorway into awakened consciousness. Just like tonight, we sort of took a little, put a foot through about five different doorways, just took a quick glimpse through that doorway. Each of these 12 modules, is a profound journey in itself into one of these dimensions of awakening. And I won't summarize them all here. Again, you can read those at directawakening.com in the online course brochure, but they include some of the things we did here and other dimensions. And it also all starts with some real work on the foundations, because it's something about our time in spiritual practice here in the contemporary, fast-paced, technologically savvy modern world, where we kind of expect ourselves to be able to just get everything instantly, and that we ought to be able to just read the summary, read the tweet and get the essence, or get our news on Facebook or whatever. But it starts with a lot of work on the fundamentals, because we need fundamentals. There are a lot of things about the environment in which we're meditating that we need to take into consideration. There are things about how we sit that matter. There are things about the inner disposition we bring to the practice, the intention, the motivation for our practice, all of these kind of foundational factors that set us up to do profound practice is where the course starts. And then having built that foundation at the beginning, then we go deep into these meditation postures and practices. And these practices require an in-depth dive, and they require us to really spend a lot of time with them. Essentially, I would say that in each course session, we go very deep into one thing, but they're in many ways similar in character to this, I would say. I didn't know quite how this workshop was going to go, because I'm obviously delivering this very extemporaneously, but having just taken you through this, I feel it was very similar in many ways to the quality and character of the course sessions, where I'm giving talks and then I'm guiding practices and talking some more and guiding more practice and, really going deep into one. And then moving on to another one. So I encourage you, after we're done, to read more about it and take it in, having had a taste of it all here. I think the other thing I probably just want to say is that, as I mentioned at the beginning, we've had 3,000 people go through this program now over the last couple of years, and I am in awe at what happens for people. Even during the very first time I offered this course, we have an online discussion forum for each module of the course where people go and share what's happening. And when I first came to that discussion forum, I didn't know what I was going to find. And it was flooded with the very first week with descriptions of extraordinary awakenings that were happening for people, both during the course sessions and doing the guided meditations. And it went on the whole course like that. And I would often just sit and read through these, and I would be brought to tears by the depth and the beauty of what was being shared. And so for me, it's like the course is a conversation, and that's where I get the conversation back. And I just, there's this profound collective field of awakening that starts to form, where we're all feeding into it, and we're all catalyzing each other, and we're all propelling each other further. And it's, stimulating me with new awakenings people are having, and that triggers me to bring different things to the discussion. So we get into this flow, this real journey of awakening together, and it's always new and it's always takes me somewhere new. And so I'm utterly thrilled that so many have already signed up. And I, if you've found some inspiration in what I've shared with you this evening, I would love to have you join in and be part of the journey. So yeah. Oh, and I encourage you to look at the what people have written about the course, because we shared some short bits from what people have posted on that online course brochure, the directawakening.com page. And yeah, just take that in. It's a very small, you know, obviously tiny little slice of what's been shared, but it gives you a bit of the flavor of what's happened for people. So yeah, so there are 12 course sessions. We've got the, you know, the archival Q&A sessions, which are also really rich from previous courses. We have all the live virtual living rooms, 33 guided meditations, and edited transcripts of all the sessions that, and you get to keep all of that really forever. And the good thing with meditation practice is it's something we do forever. It's not something we do for a little while, you know, and then move on. It's a life practice. And so this is a sort of compendium of profound practices that you can do really for decades to come. It's how I relate to it anyway, and encourage you to as well. So, and I think I'm going to use that as my segue to the end, because we've gone for a long time. I'm sure that many of you are, you know, have heard enough, and you know, so I think I just want to say for any of you who feel like you're ready to take a step into a very profound spiritual adventure and are willing to put in the time and energy, we are going to go somewhere amazing over the next 3 months. We're going to start this Thursday. You can read all about it at directawakening.com, and I hope, at least for those of you who feel called, that I hope to connect with you on the course. And for any of you who don't, or it's not the right time, or just doesn't seem like the right next step, I really just want to bless where you are on your path right now, and encourage you to stay true to that calling and give yourself to that, whatever that next thing is, because we're all always at different places, and there's no one formula for everybody by any means. So yeah, have a wonderful rest of your evening, and thanks again so much for coming. Bye-bye.